Welcome to Ben Drury's Voice. I'm Ben. Join me as I chat with big thinkers, decision makers, and leaders in the world of tech. If you like the show and would like to hear more from us, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform. Welcome to the show, guys. Today we are joined by Nico Cortes, who is Talent Acquisition Specialist at Railsbank. Welcome to the show, Nico. It's really good to have you join us.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you so much, Ben.
Cool. I think just to get the ball rolling, you know, before we get into the depths of the conversation, could you give us a bit of insight into Railsbank, which is it in the top 50 fintech nominated business? And is that right?
That's right. It is. And that's a huge honor for us as well. You know, Railsbank is the brainchild of Clive Mitchell and Nigel Verdon, who obviously, assuming everybody will know in this space, you know, two, I think, geniuses in fintech. And it's a business which has gone at a million miles an hour. At least that's what it looks like, especially since I've joined. You know, I've experienced it firsthand, and it's phenomenal, the work that goes into the business and the amount of hours that people put in. But the growth has just been, especially this year, I've been lucky enough to be part of it. It's been astronomical.
Cool. And what's the service? What do you provide there?
Yeah. So effectively, what Nigel and Clive sort of set out for the business is to make it a super simple access to financial services. Basically, giving them access to global banking with five lines of code. That's effectively what we do. And the way in which we do that is, again, it's you'd like to sort of say it's a complicated method, but the team that we've got at the moment is incredible. I mean, the teams across the globe, which again are significantly growing, basically give us so much of the technical side of things, which again you'd think absolutely genius what these guys do, but it really really is. You can't really understate that at all. It's phenomenal what these guys do.
Cool. I mean, we'll definitely get into more of that as the show goes on, but I just think for now, could you just give us a bit of insight into what your role is and kind of your career history?
Yeah. I've spent my adult life pretty much in agency recruitment. So doing executive recruitment in the last sort of few years, sort of 6-7 years. I moved over to London 3 years ago from my home in Gibraltar. Decided to sort of get back, you know, stick to what I know, which was effectively the recruitment side of things. Got a great job with a fantastic company, C&M Travel Recruitment. Worked with some great people there. Fortunately, they've been going through some tough times, given that they're an agency and they work in travel. But, you know, hopefully they've got enough going there that they can, you know, see this through. And I actually got very fortunate. It was a colleague of mine who still works with me at Railsbank now, Lucy Holden, who made the recommendation for me to Railsbank and put my CV in front of Claire Green, who's the head of people, another incredible professional. Just two interviews and I was there. I was just, so now what I do is I look after all of the recruitment on a global scale, if you like, for Railsbank.
Cool. How long have you been at Railsbank for? You might have mentioned.
No, so I joined in January this year. Not long, you'd think, but actually, a month at Railsbank is like a year. So I mean that in the best possible way. But I feel like a veteran at the minute of the company. Yeah.
So you've been there for under a year, right? But I mean, obviously, a lot of stuff has happened this year, particularly. Yeah. So I mean, what kind of positive changes have you seen at Railsbank that have come out of this year?
Do you know, we've actually, we were saying obviously before the recording, you know, we just having a quick chat, and we've never been so successful. Yeah. We've never been in a position where we've been so healthy as a business. You know, there's, you'd have thought potentially that with everything that was going on, you know, the working from home, the how is this going to work for anybody, and businesses have realized it's a struggle. For us, you know, luckily, and touch wood, long may it continue, we've actually been more productive, more successful. You know, we've actually increased the workflow. We've actually got to a point where everything is working very, very smoothly, really scarily smoothly. You're just waiting for something bad to happen. It works. We're a fintech company. We've just adapted. You know, Nigel and Clive have taken businesses through some really dire times, you know, in the past, and this is not this is no different for them. You know, they'll make the business successful, whatever happens. And with that kind of CEO and co-founder, you can't really go wrong. But it also comes down to the incredible teams, and I genuinely mean incredible teams, that we've got working with us. I mean, some of these professionals are honestly just different level.
So that's interesting. So, I mean, you're saying it's to do with the teams and things like that. So would you say that that's the single most important aspect of a company's success?
That is a huge part of it, but also it's having good clients as well, good customers. You know, whatever business you're in, whether you call them clients, whether you call them customers, you have to have a good enough service, and you have to have, this is, it comes part of the team. But without a world-class team like that we have got within Rails Bank, I think, you know, even customers would start to struggle to stick with you. But then you've got, again, people that are loyal and that they, you know, they believe in your products, they believe in what you do, and they stick with you through thick and thin. So that is another huge part of why, you know, we're still successful. But yes, predominantly for me, it's down to, you know, the hours and the dedication and the and again the top work that the guys do in the team.
So in terms of like finding those people, because you've obviously got quite amazing people that work for you, but
yeah,
where do you go about finding those people? Where do you find them?
So it's actually quite a mix. I mean, no one will be surprised to know that LinkedIn is a huge tool for us. Yeah. But as well, we get an incredible response from our direct adverts. So actually from our website, we get fantastic response to most roles that we actually post, advertise. It's really a mix. We also get some referrals. We've had some brilliant referrals internally from people, obviously, who work within this industry. You know, that they're not strangers to it, and they refer some incredible professionals. And you know, you've got to take note. So yeah, that's one of the things we sort of focus on as well is the fact that we have you know, everybody around the sort of the company is working to try and get the best people in as well. So it's very, very helpful.
Cool. In terms of like the business as a whole, can you kind of pinpoint the reason for its success?
That's a really, really good question. Perfectly honest, I can't pinpoint one specific thing. Again, I think it's a huge team effort. I think it's having the right strategy from the top. And I think just everybody putting together, you know, you can say until you're, you know, you're blue in the face, you've got great teams, you know, around the world, great offices, but it really is all the difference. You know, that's what the company does. It creates teams which are, so good, that, you know, it would be difficult for us to fail, but we don't accept failure in the sense that we work so hard, and this is every single individual, but we work so hard to make sure that success is a must for us. You know, and if in the case that we do fail, we, you know, we learn from that and we take that on board and we go to the next thing. But you know, it really is down to the people within your company. Like I said, the right strategy from the top.
Yeah, I really hate the term culture, but I'm really interested in the culture at Rails Bank, because it's like, obviously in tech, the cultures can vary like massively, like from startups to like giants. So what's the culture like at Rails Bank?
Do you know what, we've got so many different nationalities and so many different languages spoken. I can't remember if we sort of said something on the lines of 47 different languages or something like that. I genuinely can't remember right now off the top of my head, but I might be overshooting that a little bit, but I'm not too sure. But no, it's the culture is incredible. That's actually a huge piece that we concentrate on when we do sort of think about bringing anybody on. You know, how would they fit within Rails Bank? You know, it's difficult to get, you know, great professionals who are all sort of going to be in line and fall into that sort of culture piece, if you like. But we have a really good interview process, I believe. It's not just myself. You know, you've got Claire Green, again, head of people. Who's incredible. Yeah, again, she was a former England rugby ladies professional, wow. 35 caps for England. Wow. So incredibly impressive background. You know, she's got that drive, and she just knows, you know, how we should be doing things. And you know, you learn a lot from her. But just based on that, we've got another gentleman as well, Eddie Blogg, who's a contractor actually. again, another top recruitment professional. We rely on Eddie to come in when there's a massive sort of recruitment drive happening. So he's used to it, bless him. But it's great to have him on board. We just know what we need to do in terms of recruitment. You just get a feeling for somebody straight away. And you just know, is this person going to be somebody that you can see working with X, Y, and Z? You just know that you have that feeling, you have that gut feeling you have to sort of follow as well. Obviously it helps when you ask the right questions, you sort of know how they react to pressure, how they react to, such fast pace that we go through, because we work at 1 million miles an hour. And it doesn't normally let up, if I'm honest with you. But it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody.
And the thing is now with the recruitment process, obviously everything's being done like kind of over Zoom and things like that instead of face to face. Do you think that makes it, does it make it more difficult to read someone over Zoom, or does it make that much of a difference, do you think?
I personally love the sort of face-to-face interviews. You can read body language. You can, see their mannerisms. You can see what they're doing with their hands as they're sort of there. But this very easily, so you can play with a pen. You wouldn't even realize. It's little things like that which I like to focus on. It's amazing that we have this. The whole video conferencing tools and without it, God knows where we'd be, to be honest. But it's been easy enough to transition from just doing face to face interviews. As I mentioned to you earlier as well, we rather than try and get people in physically into the office for an interview, it actually gets sorted much, much quicker. Can you have a chat this afternoon? For an hour. And people are more inclined to sort of say, yeah, absolutely. They'll throw a shirt on or something smart on, and even if they're wearing shorts, under the table, it doesn't really matter. As long as, but it's just one of the things. You can have a quick interview. You can get the process done much quicker. I mean, we are quick at hiring. Don't get me wrong. We are moving at this fast pace. We'll go through the interviews. We won't sort of drag it on and on. If you can make a hire in 2 weeks, we'll do that. That's just what we like to do. There's no use in dragging something on for months on end when you're going to come to the same conclusion.
I'm just thinking now about hiring again. So, I mean, have you had any kind of stories where you've hired someone where in the interview they've come across perfectly and you think they tick every box, and then 2 months down the line you're like, that was a mistake?
Absolutely, yes. I'm not gonna speak about Rails Bank or not. I'll go back to recruitment potentially. Okay.
I don't expect you to name the people either.
No, of course not. Look, sometimes you get you can have people that give amazing interviews. Like you said, they'll tick every box, they'll say all the right things. But when somebody says all the right things, that for me rings alarm bells instantly. So when somebody has all the right answers and saying everything that I want to hear, 9 times out of 10, it's too good to be true. So there's going to be something, you've got to dig a little deeper and find out where that person's coming from and what they're really like. Because I think there are a lot of people that are very good, like you said, at interviewing, and then they can't back that up. They say everything that you want to hear and all the wonderful things about how much of that, I love your company and I researched this and I've done this. And you ask them, what do you think about pressure and working weekend stuff? Love it. Don't worry about that. I'm really good under pressure. Do you though? you just have to really be thorough in your interviewing to be able to pick holes in that and make sure that you get the right people in.
Yeah, and it's just it's honesty coming from the actual person being interviewed as well, which is just
absolutely.
You have to be. I mean, especially if you're going for an if you're going for a job.
Yeah.
It's got to work both ways, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, this is why I say to people, I was like, look, don't. I've contacted sometimes professionals for Rails Bank and said, this is just a chat between you and I to see, to let you know a bit more about the company. But at the same time, I always say to them, this is your chance to speak the hiring manager, for example, senior member of Rails Bank, and your chance to ask any questions, and almost have it's very cliche, but sort of it's an interview in itself for the hiring manager. You need to find out everything you need to find out about that company. Hmm. You're making a huge career move. These days, anywhere you move, especially right now in the current climate, anywhere that you go to is a huge career move. It's a huge step into something, because you never know how long that's going to last and you never know how long you're going to sort of be in that business. So it's a conscious decision that everybody has to make now that's going to affect them effectively the rest of their lives, effectively, if you think about it. So I think it's important for people to be honest. Absolutely, absolutely. One of the key things we focus on is integrity. And if you're in the interview, you sort of start to sort of say, you know, a few things that I think, oh, actually, is that really how what he or she thinks? You know, you have to not question their integrity at all. I think people just get nervous during an interview potentially, and this is what comes out. But you know, you have to have a certain element of honesty and just being completely transparent at times. It helps everybody out. It'll help you and it'll help the company out.
Definitely. And now I'm thinking, you know, is there any kind of skills that, I know I've mentioned honesty, but is there any other skills that, you know, you think are undervalued in the industry, or especially when you're kind of hiring? I mean, the other day, someone said time management was something that people just overlook, but that's really important.
I mean, time management, that's one of those things that you always throw into an interview, isn't it? Oh, I'm really good at my time management. But I'll be honest, it is absolutely underlooked. You know, it's you know, I can't you know, stress enough how much work, you know, everybody puts in. But I mean, everybody from, you know, from the top down, it makes no difference. You know, what your position is within the business, everybody in this business is a grafter, and I really do mean that they're grafters. Because, you know, we're under a lot of time constraints, we're under a lot of pressure, you know, across the business, everyone's just really putting in a shift. So yeah, it's important to have that. You know, like I said, it inspires people to do better, and it inspires you to want to do more, you know.
Definitely. And now I'm just thinking about the industry as a whole. So let's talk about recruitment. So yeah. Is there anything that you feel is underestimated in recruitment?
A lot of things. I have got a lot of time for agencies. That's one of the things that I decided I was going to make sure was a focal point for me when I joined, when I went in-house. And it's my first in-house position. But it's going to be something which I stick to. I'm going to stick to my guns on this, because I have an infinite amount of respect for agencies and what they try and do. Some recruitment consultants go about it in a much better way than others. You know, by not bombarding and not, you know, not getting a bit too much in that sense. But you also got to give credit to all of them for really, you know, I was speaking to some recently, the last few months, and it's been a huge struggle for recruitment in certain areas. You look, hospitality, travel, and a lot of sort of areas like that. And it's been terrible. You know, it's been terrible, genuinely. A lot of businesses have folded. But when you look at the likes of the businesses that are still afloat, you know, they're still out there trying to. You got the directors trying to get some business. You got some people calling, senior people calling you. It's great. But again, the thing that's most, I think, underrated, and I think the most underestimated potentially, and the thing that people do take for granted, I think, is a recruitment consultant's time. Some of these people are working, again, loads of hours, and they're trying to earn a living. They're potentially now only on commission. So what I would say as a business, as a, you know, if there's anybody obviously that's listening that's internal as well, do not waste their time. You know, don't make sure roles are signed off. Make sure that when you do contact them, it's because you've got that role or those roles ready to go, and you're actually actively hiring. You know, if the role is earmarked, let's be honest, we all know it happens. If a role is earmarked, don't give it to an agency to work on to then have to let them down later. You know, just avoid wasting people's times. That's as much as I can say. That is literally the main thing for me, is don't waste someone's time, because they haven't got it to waste. And it was very frustrating, I remember, when I was in recruitment to have somebody do that and sort of say, right, we got this role, et cetera. So you spend... I was doing executive hiring. So you do, you know, spend a month on working, you know, working your ass off on this, you know, and this particular role, because it's worth a lot of money, and you need to give it that time. It needs to have that kind of attention. Then all of a sudden to come back on a few occasions, sort of say, oh, actually, we just had a think and we might have a reshuffle internally. No, that's not good. That's a month of my time. That's a month of worth of money. That's a month of, you know, people can't afford to do that. So just don't waste people's time, I think, is my main suggestion or recommendation, if possible.
Okay. So in terms of like the other side of things then, so obviously you get in recruitment, you get a lot of kind of like graduates who have just come out of uni and they get sold this kind of quick cash, like, yes, get sold the dream basically. What do you say to those people? Any advice that you'd say to like graduates going straight into recruitment?
Yeah, make the most of it, really. Look, there's a lot of people that think there's no career in recruitment. Okay, I could not disagree with that more. I think it absolutely is a career. I think it absolutely is something which can be done and should be respected more. You know, I've spent 12 years or 11 years doing recruitment, and now I'm in a very fortunate position where, through knowing somebody because of recruitment, I managed to get myself in front of a hiring manager within Rails Bank. And now, you know, I've probably learned more in the last 9 months that I've been there than I've learned in 11 years in recruitment, if I'm honest. Just a different way of life, different skills, I think. But I would say make the most of it, because there is absolutely a career out of it. You know, I know the likes of, for example, Barbara Kolesinska from CNM. She's been recruitment. She's now the director of a recruitment company, you know, and there's many people that have done that throughout their careers. And I say careers because it is, you know, it's not just, you know, people sort of say, oh, he's a recruitment consultant, or she's a recruitment consultant. Oh, God. But look, there's a lot of work that goes into doing it. There's a lot of rejection, which people don't realize. There's a lot of ups and downs in recruitment, more so than a lot of other jobs, you know, especially those that work purely on commission. So before, I think people need to have a bit more respect at times when the term recruitment consultant comes up, or recruitment professional, because, you know, they do deserve the respect that they get. You know, so again, some of them can be pushy, a bit cheesy, which I can't stand sometimes. Just be yourself. It's fine. You don't need to, you know, sell me this happiness thing that you're going through. I know you're stressed, so just relax. but it's definitely, they definitely deserve the respect, because you know, the good recruiters are the ones that will will look after you, you know, long term and throughout your whole career, whatever it is that you may do.
Absolutely, yeah. So now, are there any resources that you rely on to stay ahead of the game in recruitment? I mean, is there any kind of like podcasts or books, or where do you look to for inspiration?
Do you know, weirdly enough, it's LinkedIn. Again, I sort of mentioned LinkedIn. There's this recruitment professionals that do a lot of, you know, daily videos, or there's Alex Karika, who does, for example, she's just sort of blown up in the market. As a recruitment professional, she's just opened her own business this year. After working for Broadgate Search, it's one of those things where she uses the LinkedIn as the platform for her to sort of get her voice out, and to get her ideas out, and to get, you know, the recruitment side of things coming in. You've got other people as well that and it's proven really, really, really successful. You know, you get really good advice in there from senior people in recruitment and from senior professionals within businesses as well, which actually, you know, is really, really good insight. Off the back of a video, you can ask a question, and, you know, these senior people will reply. It's again, it's great insight into something that you maybe wouldn't normally have, you know, somebody's opinion at that level. So inspiration comes from everywhere. You know, it comes from people internally who says, I've got this really great guy I used to work with. You know, so you stay ahead of the game in that sense. It's the knowledge is key. And it's, that comes again from so many professionals that we have working in the business that have been, you know, in fintech for donkey's years. And they'll always have their ear to the ground, and they'll always know what's going on before a lot of other people do. That keeps you ahead of the game. And generally, just constantly keeping an eye out. You know, sometimes it's, I know in recruitment you do this a lot, but it's, you see somebody, you might not be recruiting for a specific role, but you see somebody and you think, God, that person looks, you know, they've got some great experience. Let's just put them on a back burner for a minute and see. And then, you know, you've got that person there, you've had a chat, you know, 3 months before, and then on the fourth month, you'll get somebody that's absolutely nailed on for them. And you think, actually, let's bring them in now and see if they fit in with this team. So, no, just keeping ahead of the game, I think, is in every possible way is hugely important, I think. Yeah.
Do you think that self promotion is like absolutely necessary, like something you have to do outside of work to be at the top or get to the top? Is that like really crucial?
I think a lot of it that you do get, for example, if you're a recruiter, I say this because, you know, as a recruitment consultant, you have to have a reputation. You have to try and build a name for yourself so people trust you, so people know what you're like, know what you're about, prove yourself in your work. I think the more you get out there as a recruitment consultant for a recruitment agency, yes, I think potentially the more business you'll get. When you're internal, I would definitely say, I mean, I don't need to promote myself at all. The business does that for me. So the brand Rails Bank, the name Rails Bank, is the selling point. You know, I don't need to be anywhere near the forefront of that. And I'm glad that I'm not. You know, it's Railsbank sells itself, put it that way. And I'm just a very fortunate middleman that happens to be, you know, involved heavily in the recruitment process and the strategies, et cetera, that go on behind the scenes. It's a brand selling itself, which is a very different position to what you are in normally in recruitment, because you have to try and sell yourself to a client to be able to get them to sort of like you enough to give you their business. It's definitely the way around here. It's great. Yeah, it's great to have that, you know, that big brand to sort of say, actually, you know, this is who I work for. You know, if there's interest, great, and if there's not, then you know, so be it.
Perfect. So looking back, so you've been in the industry for 11 years, did you say?
In recruitment.
In recruitment for 11 years. So is there anything if you look back to when you first started that time ago, is there anything that you wish you were told right at the beginning that you've had to go on and learn the hard way?
No, absolutely not. I think learning the hard way is sometimes the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Everything I've done in recruitment, I value every single minute of it. Even the really rough times, you know, I wouldn't change those, not for a second, because it genuinely molds you into the recruitment consultant that you become. You know, it does make you the person that you are, and it affects you on a personal level as well. People that have worked with me before and that know me, they know I'm quite hot-headed in that sense. You know, I've got I think it's from the Mediterranean roots to think, you know, you tend to have a little bit of a hot head and that's just me occasionally. Nine times out of 10, I'm constantly happy. But again, within recruitment, because things have gone bad in the past, you just think, oh, it's a lesson learned. I mean, and then eventually it doesn't bother you as much because you know what to do to rectify that, you know? I wouldn't change anything. And I wouldn't change the time that I've had with any of the recruitment businesses that I've worked for. I've learned a hell of a lot from each and every one. You know, Russell Hood back in Gibraltar for First Choice, and also Ian Hancock from Recruit Gibraltar as well, originally, another great professional. These are people that you learn from because they've been in the business for years and years and years. I'm blessed. I'm fortunate to have been through that. Yeah.
Excellent. That's a really, really good answer. Not that there's a right or wrong answer, but I'm going to say that yours was the right answer because I can do that.
Yeah. Your show, mate. You do what you want.
So I think just to finish up, back onto Railsbank, what are the plans moving forward now? I mean, how much is it? I mean, have you got plans for, obviously, I mean, it's going to grow and scale, but what's to what extent?
Yeah, look, it's I don't want to give too much away, but there's, look, we've nearly doubled in size this year. Wow. Year again. You know, if you look at January 2019 to January 2020, you know, they went from, I think, something like 13, 14 staff to having over 100. And now we've effectively done a similar exercise this year. Not quite double, but probably three quarters in terms of expansion. It's huge. Look, it's massive. Obviously, with everything that's gone on with Wirecard, you know, we've been, again, we've done everything we can there, which is great as a business. But again, you know, we've taken on some great professionals. Luckily, we're very, very lucky as well. And some of them have started already and have been fantastic. So we can't wait to have, you know, the rest of them sort of start now with us. It's been a great year. And I think next year will probably potentially be even better. It certainly has got the makings for another great year within Railsbank, definitely.
Excellent. It sounds great, and I could chat to you all day, Nico, honestly, but I know that you're a very, very busy man. Yeah. So you've got a very busy lifestyle to maintain. I think we could end that there, if that's all right with you.
Perfect.
Enjoy.
Mate, thanks so much for having me. It's been brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show, give us a follow on your favourite streaming platform.